Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, March 30th, 2015. This is the Hockey Guys Podcast. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther, with my co-host Chris Shannon. It is a beautiful Monday afternoon here in Toronto. Stunning day. Chris, I'm not even going to ask you about the weather in Florida because it's probably perfect. And I'm just sick of hearing out there today. But how are you doing?
Doing good. Playoff season is coming and Nothing to be sad about right now. Just positive thoughts and ready for the NHL playoffs to come.
It's getting closer. Everyone in the league has about a handful of games left to go. Three teams have left. Pretty decent schedule tonight too. Tampa, Montreal. That'll be a big one. Two Eastern Conference powerhouses. Those even exist. We also got Kings and Blackhawks. Things are coming back, man. What did I tell you?
Yeah, I'm not
back to Jets right now, but what did I tell you?
We'll see. I like Calgary, though.
Yeah, well, Calgary, I guess. And they got the Stars, too.
Yeah.
You know, we never talk about the Dallas Stars. That's been a team that's really frustrating for me this year. Like, I thought they were going to be...
Yeah, but I mean... You look at that defense group. I mean, there's nothing nice about it. But I look at that team. I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, if you told me Colorado was going to be bad this year, I wouldn't be, like, crazy. Like, I thought they were going to be good this year because, like, what we saw last year. Same thing with Dallas. I think next year is going to be very hard to make the Western Conference playoffs because Dallas and the Colorado, they're going to be better next year. You know, they've got the materials. They've got the team to be a playoff team. They'll edit during the off season, and they'll be back in the playoff hunt next year. And I think it was just an off season, which it happens. I mean, same thing with Columbus. I mean, Columbus was a great team last year, and this year they were probably the unluckiest team in the whole NHL with the injuries they had. They're a better team than they showed. Same with the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they're all better teams than they showed. And I think we haven't seen the true testament of what those general managers are building.
Valid point. And you got to give the Stars credit, too, in the sense that they dealt with some injuries this year.
Mm-hmm.
Losing Sagan was just terrible. It wasn't nearly as bad as what it could have been. That was some...
Yeah.
He looked like Booby Miles in Friday Night Lights. I thought that he was done, for sure. But,
and it was in the midst of their playoff hunt. It was in the midst of it all. So, I mean, it was a worst time to be kicked. I mean, get injured. Yeah. And they're on a big run there. Like, it was depressing to see that.
I love the Stars jerseys. I really, they look beautiful.
You like? I hate that color. I hate that color.
Hate it? Oh, it's a beautiful.
Yeah.
Print.
No. Come on, man.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy. Anyway, speaking of crazy people, from the state of Massachusetts, John Kerry's from there. I like John Kerry. Probably my favorite U.S. politician. But that's beside the point. Joining us on the line right now is a man who covers the Boston Bruins for the Hockey Guys. He's a very smart guy, and I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit of Boston Red Sox before the end of this phone call. Mitch Cole, Dirty
What's
Water
going
Bugs.
On, guys?
What's up, man? How's it going? There he is.
What's
not
up,
too
Mitch?
Bad. What's going on?
Hanging out.
Not much. Not much. Yeah. You got to be pretty happy with your Bruins lately.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here, guys. Two wins.
Well, I mean, they've already put out the playoff schedule, or playoff tickets, so I think you guys made it.
Yeah, I heard that they sent out an email today about individual playoff tickets, something like that. You know, a lot of people are joking around saying, "Hey, guys, let's calm down a little bit. You want to?"
Well, you know,
it's
Bruins are three up right
now.
Bruins are three up now in the fence for the final wild card spot. Now they've got two straight wins. Saturday against the Rangers, and a 2-1 win last night against the Hurricanes. That was a beauty goal by their young 96, Pastrnak. But they did lose six straight right before. Mitch, my first question for you, do you think the Bruins, even though it's only been two wins, do you think they're stabilizing themselves now for the final handful of games of the season?
I don't know. I mean, my heart says yes, but my gut says no, so it's really hard to say. They put out some really crap efforts in the previous few games before they clobbered the Rangers. And now, you know, even last night, the game against the Hurricanes, they went up 1-0 on the Schooner goal, and then for the rest of the game, they kind of just sat back. And, you know, when Carolina tied it, it was kind of, you know, everyone just looked at it and said, well, this was kind of an inevitable. It was kind of inevitable at that point that Carolina was going to tie it. It's just awful because what they've been doing is, you know, they go up early, they take a nice little lead, and then they just kind of sit back and let the other team take control of the game. So it's really not a good meal for success, if you ask me.
Mitch, how have you liked Talbot since he's been with the team? I mean, they needed that fourth line to start doing something. I mean, everyone was blaming, oh, the Bruins are bad at the beginning of the year because Thorin's not here. And, I mean, I understand. I mean, Thorin was a big part of that team, and he really did energize that fourth line in some big games. Has Max Talbot taken that responsibility in any way, or have you not been impressed at all?
Well, you know, first I'm going to say about Thornton, a lot of people say he energized the team. My response is in, what, his 5 or 6 minutes of ice time every game. I mean, Thornton was one of those guys. He was good in the locker room. You know, you get a lot of those guys. Even the star players are always good in the locker room. You know, it's not particularly often that, you know, you sign a guy and just nobody in the room likes him. So I think that aspect of the game itself is overrated. But on Talbot, he's impressed me a little bit so far. I do think he's a solid fourth line player, but the problem is the fact that he's stuck with playing on a line with Gregory Campbell and Daniel Pae. And, you know, I like Pae. He's not very good, but I can tell you for a fact that I'm not alone when I say I hate Gregory Campbell. I cannot stand the guy. He's just not good. His possession numbers are brutal. They're constantly in the 40%, and he drags the rest of the team down. I mean,
you know what I love about Gregory Campbell? He's like the definition of, like, I got a summer job, or I got a job because my dad got me a job. And all the credit to him, tough guy, hard worker, block shots, all that crap. But honestly, if there was no Soupy, there'd be no Gregory. And I love Talbot's big whopping zero goals in a Bruins uniform. Let's go to players who are productive. And right now I want to talk about Dougie Hamilton, who's day-to-day right now, or I guess out indefinitely, oh God. But he's emerged as one of the top D in Boston right now. He's an RFA at the end of the year. What, Mitch, my question is, what do you think his value is? What kind of contract do you think he could get? And not to mention, too, I mean, Boston's got some cap issues. What are they going to have to do if they want to bring in this guy who right now is arguably one of your best blue liners?
You know, I saw a report, I believe it was from Fudo Shinzawa of the Boston Globe, saying that the Bruins plan on matching any offer sheet that comes his way this summer. So there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to come back. The question is at what number, and I think Fluto reported that the Bruins would prefer to keep him back at a contract similar. I think it was Jonas Brodin signed in Minnesota, a little over $4.5 million in cap hit. But I think Hamilton's going to command easily over $6 million in cap. So they'll bring him back, but it's, you know, it'll completely mess with their budget and their cap constraints. And they're definitely going to have a lot of work to do this summer to kind of keep themselves under that cap, even if the NHLPA invokes that escalator.
So, Mitch, I mean, Boston's really running on their young guns, and Spooner and Pasternak. And Lucic actually has done pretty good this weekend. I was surprised to see him get a hat trick. But Spooner and Pasternak, I mean, they've been this team's, I don't know how to say it, like their engine, I guess. And like they have a lot of veterans on this team, and like I still don't see these guys stepping up. They have a young defense group. If they go to the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, they'll likely play the New York Rangers. I know they beat them this weekend, but I don't know if they can at all even match up against the Rangers. I mean, Tuukka Rask is a great goaltender. He's one of the best. You can't say he's better than Lundqvist because Lundqvist is top three. I don't think that we can see a good playoff run by the Bruins this year, but I don't know. I mean, what do you think? You're the fan. You're the guy that watches them all the time. They may pull an LA Kings and surprise us all because I feel like that's what they may do, but I just don't look at that team and say, that's a good team.
No, I'm going to have to agree with you there and say that, you know, that they're not a team that, you know, you can see going to the playoffs and suddenly going on a tear. I mean, it was earlier this month when they went on their hot streak and everyone, you know, they kind of jumped into that wild card spot. Everyone looked at them, and, you know, there was a lot of whispers around the league that, hey, you know, the Bruins are really a team we're going to want to try and avoid when we get into the playoffs. They could very well upset someone in the first round, but when they kind of came back down to earth, those talk kind of quieted. And it's funny because, you know, as much as I enjoyed seeing that run they went on, that little tear, it was all based on their PDO. They had a high shooting percentage. Tuukka Rask stood on his head. It was a completely luck-fueled run. You saw it, especially in the game I'd point to most, in the game against the Flyers. They did not play very well at all in that game. And the only reason they got to overtime was because Brad Marchand scored a goal in the last 10 seconds of the game to tie it. So, I just don't see them as a team that is going to be any kind of threat in the playoffs at all. Assuming they even make it because, I mean, as much as they are in control of their own destiny right now, 3 points up on Ottawa, it's still a very realistic thing that they could drop the rest of the last of their remaining games, and Ottawa could get back on their feet and take over that wild card spot again. So I just don't know if they'll even make the playoffs. But I will have to disagree with you on the fact that Tuukka Rask isn't as good as Henrik Lundqvist. I'm not sure if I'd say he's better, but I'd say they're at the very least equal. This year, probably not. I think, you know, Rask hasn't exactly performed up to what he is capable of, but he's overall, Tuukka is definitely, at the very least, as good as Lundqvist.
I'd have to agree on that point with Rask. I feel like Rask so often gets overlooked because I think people always associate Chara to him and what is perceived as a very strong blue line, especially when they were going on conference final runs and Stanley Cup final runs, but that's a conversation for later. Mitch, the last time we had you on, I talked about David Pastrnak, and he was one of the bright spots for the Bruins when they were going through a tough time, and he hasn't let up at all with 25 points in 40 games, already one of the top possession players on the team, and I just can't get over the fact that he was born in 1996. He's looking like a man right now. I've really been impressed with his play as of late. Just what are your general thoughts on Pastrnak's season and what he could bring down the road for this Boston Bruins team?
My general thoughts are that the Bruins completely struck gold by taking him at 25. I don't understand how the kid fell out of the top 10, never mind all the way down to 25 to the Bruins. I mean, it's, you know, you watch him now, and I'm pretty sure most of the teams that pass on him in the draft are kind of, wishing they had taken him. Granted, I think, you know, teams like Florida are looking at Ekblad and Pastrnak and going, hey, you know what? We did perfectly fine. I think Florida's perfectly happy with taking Aaron Ekblad over David Pastrnak. But, I think a lot of teams are looking back at the draft and wondering, how do we miss on this kid? I think a lot of it was the fact that he was, you know, for lack of a better word, very scrawny at the draft. He was really thin. He had to put on some weight. Unless he just takes a complete dive next year, I think he's on his way to becoming a true superstar in this league.
Do you see true chemistry between him and Lucic? Krejci's playing the wing now, and Lucic was surviving off Krejci. Is there true chemistry between the Lucic, Spooner, Pastrnak line?
Yeah, I think if it's not chemistry, I think it's the fact that, you know, the Spooner and Pastrnak are two of the fastest guys on the team, if not the fastest guys on the team. And throwing Lucic on a line with those two really forces him to move his feet and actually skate. Instead of, you know, Krejci, as much as I love Krejci, he's not the fastest guy you'll ever come across on the ice. So Lucic and, you know, for the past few years. He was on the line with Krejci and, you know, Nathan Horton and Jerome Iginla. And, you know, great players, but, again, not the fastest guys you'll ever see. So I think this is – I think the fact that Lucic has to actually skate and actually move his feet now has really helped. If it's not chemistry, it's at the very least the fact that he has to skate, and it's actually made his game a lot better. I actually haven't seen him skate this way since he was playing on the line with Phil Kessel.
Whoa, that's my goodness.
Did you just
compliment Phil Kessel?
I like Phil Kessel. Are you kidding me?
Where do you get off complimenting? No, I'm just kidding. I am a Phil Kessel.
Okay,
I'm Steve. I am all on board the Phil Kessel train. I think Phil should have laid David Booth the heck out in practice, but that's I told Chris we're not talking about the Leafs anymore on this show, so let's move on. This will be my last room question.
I think we can take a few minutes to talk about the Leafs here.
Hey, trust me. We got plenty of time to talk about the Leafs. This will be my last Bruins question, and then we can move on.
Let's talk about a winning team. Yeah, let's talk about winning teams.
Oh, God. You know what? No. We're not talking about the Habs. I'm going to ask this damn question, and then we're going to move on from here. Oh, these people. Anyway, there's an interesting article written today by Andrew Thompson of FanSided. And he was talking about several things about the Bruins, notably Dougie Hamilton, Torey Krug, the team itself. And he had an interesting point about Riley Smith and about Riley signed a 2-year deal in the offseason, making a little over $3 million. And he argued that Riley's been really plummeting this year. And I'll be honest, I'm not entirely sure if he's had a really tumultuous season. His numbers are a little lower than last year's. But when I look at his possession numbers, they're still fantastic, but that could be a benefit of proxy. What are your thoughts on Riley Smith's season so far this year? Has he dipped down in terms of quality of play, or is this just the ups and downs of shooting percentage?
No, he's absolutely dipped in his quality of play. Actually, I'm surprised you didn't reference the article I just wrote last week. I actually just put one up last week about Smith, oddly enough. You know, you mentioned that.
Oh, Mitch, you know I read
fantastic.
All your stuff. Come on, Mitch. You know I read all your stuff.
Clearly you didn't read my Riley Smith article. Come on, man. Anyways, you mentioned his possession numbers. That always bothers me because people mention that his possession numbers are always fantastic. Well, that's where you got to look at his splits and his WIWIs for, you know, is what we call them. It's an acronym for with or without you. You know, he's a product of playing with Patrice Bergeron. You look at his splits, and without Bergeron on the ice, Riley Smith's possession numbers dip down to under 40% or under 50%. I believe the exact number is somewhere around 48%. So he's a passenger on that Bergeron line. His possession numbers are completely driven by playing with Bergeron. Definitely his production has dipped this year. You know, you look at his goal totals, he's got, I believe it's like 13 now, I believe. But a lot of that came in December. I believe he had 5 goals in December. So, you know, where he shot, I believe I wrote in the article what his shooting percentage was in December. It was something like 21%, if I'm not wrong, if I'm not mistaken. So that, you know, as much as that's only for 1 month, that's insanely high and totally unsustainable. And the rest of the year, he's just been average. And I think it's possible that we're just kind of seeing what Riley Smith really is at this point. Just one of those guys who you can plug him in, he can fill a role, but he's never going to be a solid, consistent top six forward.
It's a good point. I mean, he really has struggled this year. And I like how you brought up that he really has relied on Bergeron, because it's true. I mean, Bergeron, everyone talks about him, but I watch him. He's still so underrated with his game. He's kind of like the Pavel Datsyuk of this generation now, except that he doesn't have the hands of Pavel Datsyuk. I mean, Pavel Datsyuk, I'm not going to take it away from him. He's still a great player, but he's not the same as he once was. I mean, Boston, they're a good team. I think they'll make the playoffs. But tomorrow's game is going to be huge because if you let the Panthers win that game, they're right in there with you. I mean, you're fighting with Ottawa, and you're going to have to actually take the Panthers seriously because they're going to be 2 points back of you. I mean, tomorrow's game, you can push this the Panthers away and get a nice lead on the Senators, or you're going to be that's going to be an essential game tomorrow. I mean, I'm more excited for that game tomorrow than a lot, this Habs game tonight, and I don't even know why. It's just in my heart. I feel like that game's going to be crazy.
Yeah, you're right. It's definitely an important game. Although I will say I've been taking the Panthers seriously for quite a while now, even before Ottawa got hot and they went on their big tear. You know, I always thought the Panthers are the biggest threat, and I still think they're the biggest threat. You know, it's entirely possible that we've seen Ottawa completely top out now. I think their streak could very well be over. I don't know for sure. It's hard to say. If they drop another game, I think it's safe to say their tears, their streak has definitely come to an end.
Twitter
they're not going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, if you've seen my Twitter lately, you've seen that I'm a huge Panthers fan right now. I really think this team is special, and they're pulling something that we may not see. I mean, we'll all be surprised because that Huberdeau, Jager, and Barkov line is the best line in the NHL right now. It's exciting
like
to watch down here.
It's almost like you're from Florida. It's weird.
You know what? I'm a Canadian at the heart, and I went to a Habs game in Florida last week, and it was sad watching. I was born in Montreal. I've always been a Montreal fan. I've never really liked another team other than Montreal. And, you know, I love to go see Habs games down here, and they play down here so much because they make the money from it. It would be sad to see the Panthers not be here because I like to just go up, pay 10, 20 bucks to go watch a game of hockey. So I'm actually cheering for them so that this organization can stay here. But, yeah, I mean, Florida's a hard market to get sports down here.
Mitch, during the course of the year, I'm sure you watch a ton of hockey. Which teams around the league, maybe someone that doesn't get enough attention or even a team that might not be in a playoff spot right now, but when you watch other teams play, which teams do you usually try to look for?
It's funny. We actually were literally just talking about them. I love the Florida Panthers this year. And I love what Dale Talon has done there. I never really saw what he was doing there. I always thought they were just one of those expansion teams down south that was just never going to be good. They had their 1 year, I believe 2012 it was, the Devils' Cup run, where they made the playoffs and they got bounced in the first round. But I love the Panthers this year. I think give them 2 years and they're going to be one of those teams that's always at the top of the conference every year. I just love it. You know, Barkov is fantastic. Nick Bjugstad, Quentin Howden, I love those guys. Aaron Ekblad had a phenomenal year. Maybe put Jager on a line with Barkov and Huberdeau, and that's just one of the top lines in the league. And just their possession numbers are insane. It's just I can't imagine how difficult it is to get the puck as an opposing team when you're facing those guys on the ice.
And time they're on the ice, they're playing the offensive zone, which is what I find that is crazy. It's such a fun line to watch. I love watching the Panthers as well.
You know what? Let's talk a little Leafs right now. We were going to do it earlier, but let's do it now. Mitch, I'm actually curious, as someone who covers the team, that I think right now the only true rival the Leafs really have is the Bruins. I think the rivalry of the Habs doesn't even exist anymore. And
it's a fan rivalry.
Yeah, and the little spout with the Sens was 10 years ago. I mean, I still had recess when that series mattered, so it's irrelevant now. But you know what? I'm curious what your thoughts are on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Where do you think this team, A, what do they even do in the off season? And B, like, how long is it going to really take for these guys to be a legitimate franchise?
You know, in the off season, I think their best option is just tear it down and start from scratch. You got to keep some guys. Obviously, I think I'd keep guys like Morgan Riley, Jake Gardiner, Nazem Kadri. I mean, if the Leafs want to deal away those guys, I'm sure a lot of teams would come calling. I'd love the Bruins to go calling for a Kadri. I'd love to see Kadri in a Bruins uniform. I think that'd be fantastic. It'd be nice to rub that in these fans' faces after the whole Kessel trade
you know,
and losing
what?
Sagan.
You know what sucks is that Kadri would be perfect with the Bruins or the Flyers. Like, he would, that would be the perfect situation. He's just that guy that pisses everyone off, and he finishes every hit. And it seems like when he gets into the game, it's when he gets laid out or when he lays a guy out. Like, he would just thrive in those markets. Like, I, as much as I hate it, like, I love Nazem Kadri, and I think that it'd be a mistake if the Leafs let go of a guy like him. I think he will truly prosper in another franchise. I think he's at a stage now where he has to go. Not the team has to let him go, but Naz personally would thrive best in another market. You know what, Chris? We haven't even talked about the Leafs for a while. What do you think of the Leafs?
It's a mess. I agree with Mitch and you. Like, you got to tear it down. There's nothing positive about this. Trade Kessel, trade Phaneuf. You've got Morgan Riley. I love Morgan Riley. I think he'll be great, a great player to have. Nazem Kadri, I mean, if you asked me a couple months ago, I would, and saying you're going to trade him, I'd be surprised. I would not want to trade him. But now with these recent events with the suspension and him not coming to practice, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of friction between the two sides. And, I mean, you don't want to start a rebuild off of one of your key pieces having friction. I mean, this guy is supposed to be part of your franchise forever. You gotta tear it down. What were you gonna say?
I've watched Nazem Kadri play since he was about 15 years old. I remember my father actually coached his AAA team with the Knights before he was drafted by the Kitchener Rangers and eventually traded the London Knights. And I remember even like 10 years ago, like, you could just see the amount of sheer talent this kid had. I mean, one thing that people really underestimate about Kadri is his hockey sense. A lot of people say he makes a lot of dumb plays, but I would argue that he makes some of the smartest plays on the ice. He finds open guys. He's able to generate offense at a rate that I don't think at least the old school hockey mentality doesn't appreciate. And I think that, you know, Naz is, I've always said this, and there's a few Leafs who exemplify this best, like Jake Gardner and Nazem Kadri. You have to have the puck to turn it over. And I really feel like right when he came to Toronto and he got sent down to the minors, or he got sent down to junior, and Don Cherry said they should have kept him. And just right off the bat, I think that there was always a little something with this team. And I think that, you know, a lot of people bring up pressure, and I kind of think that's a BS excuse. But with Nazem Kadri, people don't understand. He's got, no joke, like 500 family members within a two-hour radius of the city of Toronto. There's family members that are naming newborn sons Nazem. Like, the amount of pressure that's on this kid, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I don't think Leafs Nation will ever truly appreciate the amount of sheer pressure that goes through Nazem Kadri. So, you know what? If he's a kid who wants to let loose a little bit, two months. And that's my little Leafs spat. We got a minute 40 left. Oh, my God. I can't believe we talked about Leafs on the show. Look what you guys did tonight.
Sorry, man.
Mitch, final thoughts from you. And then, Chris, you can follow up. Anyone? No one wants to take it?
No, I thought Mitch was going to go. I'll go. We got six more games left in the NHL for each team. It's going to be an exciting end. And, every night there's a good game to watch. So you hockey fans, everyone should be watching hockey every night because it's not going to be done. We got some crazy things happening.
Mitch?
Yeah, what's going on? What's up? I think I cut out. I don't think I heard much of you guys.
We got about 50 seconds left. I was just curious, in like 10, 15 seconds, can you just recap any thoughts, Jeff?
Let's see. Recap. Panthers are on the rise. Bruins are on the downswing. And the Leafs are bad.
And Montreal is the best team in the NHL. With the best
Montreal is a poor team with a good goalie.
Thank you.
Boom!
That's what I...
Boom!
I agree. The greatest goaltender to play in the game.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far with Carey Price. I would not call him that.
He'll be hitting 42 wins, the best any Habs goalie's ever done.
All right, I'm muting both of you right now. It's been the Hockey Guys podcast. You can follow me at Hunter Crowther on Twitter. Follow Mitch at Dirty Water Buzz and Chris Christian 16 on that time.
Well, I'll go and find you, Captain.